Welcome to D10B College. Today we're building something very specific and very useful, an immense style call and response vocal riff blueprint in Ableton Live 12. Not a full sung top line, not a big emotional chorus, but a chopped vocal hook that behaves like an instrument. Short, dark, rhythmic, and DJ friendly. The kind of vocal idea that sits inside a drum and bass track and feels like it's answering the break, not sitting on top of it. This matters, because a great vocal riff gives your track a human identity without crowding the low end. It adds tension, character, and memorability, while still leaving the drums and bass room to do their job. And in D&B, that balances everything. If the vocal is too long, too wet, or too wide, it starts fighting the snare and muddies the drop. But if you keep it tight and intentional, it becomes a signature hook that can define the whole record. Start with one vocal source. Keep it short, dry, and characterful. A spoken phrase, a shout, or a half line usually works better than a sung performance for this style. Drag it into an audio track and trim the clip so the attack starts right away. You want the consonants to hit like transients. That's the first mindset shift here. Treat the vocal like rhythm material, not a song part. If the sample sounds too polished, clean it up fast. High pass it with EQ8 somewhere around 100 to 180 Hz, depending on the source. Cut obvious room tone if it blurs the groove. Tighten the clip start so the consonant lands cleanly. Then warp it just enough to lock to the grid. In Ableton Live 12, Beats mode is often the best starting point if you want the vocal to feel chopped and percussive. Complex Pro can work too, but for this kind of blueprint, you usually want the vocal to behave more like a stab than a smooth phrase. What to listen for here is simple. Does the vocal feel like it snaps into the pocket, or does it drag behind the groove? If it feels slow, smeared, or wet, it's probably too long or too processed. Trim more before you add more effects. That discipline pays off later. Now chop the phrase into call and response units. You do not need a lot of material. 2 to 5 fragments is usually enough. The call is the more recognizable part. The response is shorter, more reactive, and often more percussive. Think of it like a conversation between the vocal and the beat. One asks the question, the other answers with less information. A strong starting shape for an 8-bar loop is this idea. The first 2 bars carry the call, the next 2 bars answer it, then you repeat with variation, and finish with a little space or a turnaround. That structure works because the amen break is already busy. Why this works in D10B is that the vocal doesn't need to compete with the break. It needs to dance with it. The call and response pattern gives the listener something memorable while leaving room for snare movement, ghost hits, and bass pressure. When you place the slices, be strict with the rhythm first. Quantize the first pass to the grid, then if needed, nudge a few fragments slightly late for feel. Keep the main call landing on a strong beat or a useful offbeat that mirrors the break. Put the response into the space after the snare, not directly on top of it. Keep some fragments short enough to live comfortably inside 8th note or 16th note pockets. What to listen for now is whether the vocal is dancing with the break or leaning on it. If the groove feels tighter when you mute the vocal, that's a sign the timing is too intrusive. In that case, shorten the slices, reduce the tail, and make the phrase more decisive. In this style, shorter is often stronger. At this point, you choose the flavor of the hook. There are 2 solid directions. One is raw chopped. Keep the vocal close to original pitch and use it as a hard rhythmic object that works beautifully in rugged jungle rollers and stripped back drops where the sample should feel like a found object or a vocal quote. The other option is pitched menace. Drop selected fragments by 3 to 7 semitones, then darken them with filtering and saturation. That gives you a more sinister, neural-leaning vibe. Just be careful in the low mids. Too much downward pitch can pile up around 200 to 500 Hz and start fighting the bass. If that happens, shorten the sustain, thin the vowel, or pull back some resonance. A very usable stock device chain here is EQ8 into saturator into auto filter into compressor. Use EQ8 to high pass around 120 to 200 Hz and carve any mud in the 250 to 450 Hz area. Use saturator for grit, usually somewhere around 2 to 6 dB of drive. Use auto filter to focus the vocal into a narrower, darker lane. And use compressor gently, just to keep the consonants even and controlled. You can also flip the order if the source needs it. EQ before saturation gives you a cleaner, tighter distortion. Saturation before EQ gives you a fuller distortion that you clean up afterward. Both are valid. The point is not the exact chain order. The point is to make the vocal smaller in frequency width, but bigger in attitude. Now build the response with contrast, not repetition. The response should not just copy the call. Make it shorter, shift it in pitch, or filter it differently. You can even turn it into a shadow version by bandpassing it so it sounds like a second speaker in the conversation. That contrast is what makes the riff feel composed instead of looped. A strong trick here is to place the response after a snare or ghost fill, where there's a pocket for it to speak clearly. And once the response idea works, consolidate it to audio. That saves time, keeps the session clean, and stops you from endlessly nudging slices. Fast workflow matters. Once the groove is right, commit and move forward. Now bring in the amen break and the bass line immediately. Don't leave the vocal in isolation. This is where you find out whether the idea actually works in context. Build a test loop with the break, sub and mid bass, and your 8-bar vocal pattern. Then listen carefully. Ask yourself, does the vocal leave enough air for the snare to punch? Does the bass lose focus when the vocal comes in? If the answer is yes, fix it by making the vocal shorter, drier, less wide, or slightly moved in pitch. If the vocal is competing with the bass in the mid-range, use EQ to carve room, shorten the tail, or narrow the stereo image. The center should belong to the kick, snare, and bass. The vocal needs to sit in that ecosystem without taking over, and check mono regularly. The core identity of the hook has to survive in mono. If it disappears when the stereo image collapses, you've probably overdone the width or phase treatment. Keep the main call mostly central, and save the width for throws or response moments. Once the groove is working, start automating it like a proper drop element. Open the filter slightly on the first call, then close it on the response. Add a touch more saturation as the phrase moves toward the final bar. Keep the early bars dry and direct, then allow a little more atmosphere near the transition. You can even automate clip gain down by a dB or two on repeated hits so the vocal stays fresh and doesn't overstay its welcome. A really effective arrangement move is to let the vocal do its job, then disappear. Use it as the identity statement in the first drop. Remove it for 4 or 8 bars to create tension. Bring it back altered on the second drop. Maybe the call stays the same, but the response gets lower, darker, or more fragmented. That's where the hook stops being decoration and starts becoming arrangement architecture. You can also resample the finished phrase once the timing and tone are locked. That's often the right move if you've got movement, saturation, filter automation, or delay throws working well. Printing it into a new audio clip gives the vocal a more unified feel and protects you from over-editing. Sometimes the best decision is to stop refining and commit. If the loop already has character, don't sand all the edge off it. A few deeper performance ideas are worth keeping in mind. In darker DNB, negative space is weight. A shorter vocal can feel bigger than a busy one, because the silence around it lets the break and sub hit harder. Also, try to push menace by reducing brightness before you reach for heavy distortion. A slightly band-limited, dry vocal often feels more underground than something glossy and overprocessed. If you want more aggression, parallel dirt works brilliantly. Duplicate the vocal, distort the duplicate harder, and blend it quietly under the clean core. Keep the dirty layer low enough that the words stay intelligible. That gives you density without losing the sharp front edge of the phrase. What to listen for when you do this is whether the hook still reads clearly at low volume. If you can hear the identity of the phrase quietly, that's a very good sign. It means the rhythm and consonants are doing real work, not just the loudness. A simple upgrade is to automate a narrow bandpass sweep on the response only. That creates movement without turning the whole hook into a special effect. Another useful move is to keep the main phrase dry and central, then let only the tail or the response widen slightly. That contrast feels huge in a club, because the core remains stable while the edges move around it. And remember this, if the vocal is already creating attitude and rhythmic readability, stop editing and move into arrangement. More processing at that point often makes the line less record-like, not more. Timing, phrase length, and call and response shape matter more than final sheen. Let's make this practical. Your goal is to build an 8-bar loop using one vocal source, no more than 4 chopped fragments, with a clear call and response. Keep the main vocal center focused. Use only stock Ableton devices. Add one automated change by bar 8. Then test it against an amen break and a bass line. The self-check is straightforward. If you mute the drums for 1 bar, do you still know what the hook is immediately? Does the vocal leave enough room for the snare to hit hard? Does it still make sense in mono? If the answer is yes, you're on the right track. Here's the bigger picture. Build the vocal like a rhythmic answer to the break, not a sung headline. Keep it short, dry, and contrast-based. Shape it with EQ, saturation, filtering, and light compression. Check it against the amen and the bass early. Protect the center. Use the response to create identity, not clutter. That's how you get a hook that feels inevitable, dark, and embedded in the groove. Now take the exercise or the homework challenge and push it. Build a dry-centered version, then a darker processed version. Try a second 8 bars that mutates the response instead of copying it. Print a version once the rhythm is right. Trust your ears, commit when the groove lands, and remember, in drum and bass, the best vocal hooks don't sit on top of the record. They feel like they were cut from the same record as the drums.